Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But there is various content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. Mr. Fantasy doesn't care, but Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right, Dan, I was a little confused by this, but apparently the biggest breaking news in sports is that the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas.
I mean, you weren't surprised.
I didn't understand why it was breaking news, considering we've been talking about it for probably over a year. I mean, I think even if they would have lost the vote today, they still would have moved. I mean, they're the Raiders. That's what they do. They won 31-1. The only team to vote against the move was the Miami Dolphins. Who knows why? But what I found interesting, Dan, is the Raiders will play 2017 and 2018 for sure in Oakland and possibly 2019. Are you going to a game if you're a Raider fan and they're moving on you?
Yeah.
So now the other interesting thing with this, I give their owner, Mark Davis, credit. He said he would refund any season ticket holders' money who wanted it, but I don't know if he did this before or after he raised ticket prices to Raider games by 40%. So I'm not sure how much credit he actually deserves there.
And no, the 40% is not because of the move. And the relocation fee, I'm sure of it.
Right, he said all the right things. You know, they want to bring a championship to Oakland before they move, and you know, Oakland is in their DNA, and they'll always be part of Oakland. And like, okay, then why are you moving? It's kind of like, great, but yeah, when they, 40%, is that a, you know, since you buy more tickets than I do, obviously, is that a huge increase, or does it just sound like it to me?
I mean, that's almost 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah, the NFL is expensive.
You know, because, I mean, I know, you know, every year, even bad teams raise their ticket prices. You know, there's just always an excuse for it. But 40% just seems like a big margin.
The Raiders.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, they do, you know, they have a pretty large and a very loyal fan base. So it will be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think their fans are going to have a problem paying or going or however it worked out, but yeah, I was just kind of shocked when I heard it, and I was like, wait, so that's a big number. So, but yeah, the stadium they're building is going to be 65,000 seat domed stadium. It'll cost just under $2 billion to build it. and they're going to share it with the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So.
Why are they bigger?
Why what?
Should it be like 100,000?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think either team could probably get to that total. I think you got to be Michigan football to get to that number, but. It's a good draw. I don't know how it goes. Everybody else is, but I believe if you want the bigger size stadium, I don't be able to fulfill it.
Yeah, well, I think for the Raiders, though, a lot of it's going to help with the tourism.
I know you and I talked a little bit about this Friday. I mean, if you're a Raiders season ticket holder, you know, 8 trips to Vegas isn't that big a deal if you want to keep your season tickets, right? You know, and I mean, even if you, like I know we talked about, maybe you just go for a weekend, even if you don't want to do that, it's such a short flight, you could technically catch an early Sunday flight and then come home again Sunday night after the game or, Tuesday morning or Friday morning, depending on what day the game is played. So, there's varying ways if you want to continue to, be a, an active Raider fan and hang on to your season tickets. So, who knows what they'll do, but I think they'll be fine. They'll do okay, won't they? You're not worried about them?
No, and I mean, even if they keep their tickets in Oakland, they can still follow.
Yeah, that's true. There's always the secondary market now is just so huge. I don't think, and of course, being a season ticket holder, you probably got pretty good seats. So, you probably wouldn't have an issue there. But, yeah, I really thought that it was interesting that people kind of, well, I shouldn't say people, but the sports outlets perceive this as breaking news. I didn't quite get that. To me, it was just kind of like, well, wait, we knew it was going to happen. It's not like if it would have got turned down, then I would have said, okay, well, that's breaking news. So. But all right. Well, there's always good and bad that comes with sports, and these things just confuse me. And this is the other thing, and now you've got to explain to me why this works out as news. But again, I'm listening to guys rip Tim Tebow because he struck out on 3 pitches today. Okay, Dan, the 3 pitches that he struck out on were thrown by Max Scherzer. I believe Scherzer just won a Cy Young, even though he didn't deserve it. I guess he got him on a 96, a 96, and then a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. Is this news, Dan, because it's the first time Max Scherzer has ever struck a guy out on 3 pitches?
No, not at all. I mean, he's probably struck out everyone who's going to be down in single-A ball.
I believe if he wasn't the NL strikeout leader last year, he was up in the top 5. I don't understand why one Max Scherzer strikeout in spring training is news. Especially against a guy who's already been relegated to the minor leagues. This confuses me, Dan. I don't get it. Can you help me out?
No, Tim Tebow.
Oh, okay. So media bias because one guy struck out against Max Scherzer on 3 pitches and it happened to be Tim Tebow. So it's a story. If it was anybody else, we wouldn't care, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was a little confused there by it when I heard, that this had happened and I was like, well, wait, doesn't this happen quite a bit? I know Scherzer strikes out a lot of guys. Obviously we know this from fantasy. So, I didn't understand why, to why one was more significant over the other. But here, Dan, I can tell you he struck out 7 guys over 6 innings. Tell me who the other 6 were.
Tim Tebow.
Besides, well, yeah, that's why I said the other 6, obviously. You know, they didn't mention who the other 6 guys were. Just one guy. They only mentioned one guy out of the 7 Max Scherzer struck out. And I got to tell you, Dan, I'm really freaking tired of it. I don't know if it's jealousy or how, you know, to even look at this anymore, but, you know, I mean, obviously the guy has the skills to attempt to play Major League Baseball. Is he a major leaguer? No, not yet. He's got a lot of work to do. We all know he's got a lot of work to do. You don't have to point this out to me every freaking time he makes an out. I'm not stupid. Sports fans aren't genuinely stupid. Even Mets fans realize he wasn't going to make the team. He's not going to win the NL MVP. He's not going to be Rookie of the Year, even though I'm going to make it my choice when we make our predictions. I just didn't tell you guys that yet. So, you know, I want to, you know, Dan, these guys need to be punched in the throat. It's just that serious now. You know, it's one guy trying to make a dream come true. They need to shut the hell up and just report and stop being so biased against this guy. I just don't get it anymore.
Well, and I mean, like you said, for what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, where, you know, I understood when he was playing football, you're always going to get those guys who are upset with people when a player thanks God first. You know, Kurt Warner went through that. You know, it's their faith. Again, you know, that's just part of our country where we're allowed to do that. You know, it's just like Colin Kaepernick can kneel down for a national anthem, an athlete can thank God in his interviews. It's just what we're allowed to do here. But I understand there are always people on the other side of it, and they hate when he did that. That's great. You dislike him for that. That's cool. These guys just seem to dislike him because he's playing baseball. I don't understand it.
I know that's why you should snap shot all their tweets and throw them in a little blog. You don't even need to put a whole lot of work into it.
Yeah. I'm just to the point where I can't take it anymore, and I really can't. From now on, when they bring up his name, I'm going to change the channel. I'm going to go watch something else because it's just, I'm just sickened by it. But I had to get that off my chest. What I was really disappointed to hear today, Dan, because I was hoping maybe I could snake this guy late in one of our drafts. Jorge Soler got hurt and is going to start the season on the DL. It looks like they're reporting it as a strained oblique. Do you think that's something that's going to linger with him, or is, you know, do we got an idea that he'll be back and healthy and ready to put up 40 homers for the Royals?
Oh yeah, I was going to say, it's been a long offseason. Where did he play? And that's right, you mentioned me, Casey. So,
yes.
You never know. It might linger. The oblique. He's quit doing those side dips.
So, yeah, I was a little concerned when I saw that. You know, it's just kind of like, oh boy, you know, it's just one of those things we're going to have to just deal with, how it's going to go. You know, I know on the plus side, you know, there was a lot of questions on who was going to play second for the Royals. Ned Yost came out today and announced that Raul Mondesi Jr. has won that job. So if you're looking to fill a second base spot late, he could be a guy you could look at.
Well, and, you know, kind of jumping back to Soler with the oblique, that's going to affect his hitting, you know, the twisting of the body.
Yeah. That's what I'm worried about, Dan. I was really hoping, you know, and I know it's tough in our leagues because, you know, it's very Chicago-centric and they know all the Cubs and former Cubs and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I was hoping he would kind of slide through the cracks and I could sneak him in kind of late, you know, or have enough money at the end of the auction league to grab him. But now, yeah, I'm kind of rethinking that because I'm worried that, you know, an oblique like that will hang around or, you know, I mean, how many times have we seen guys who have came back from it only to hurt it a game or two later swinging the bat? And it's not like Soler swings the bat lightly. I mean, he's up there taking his rips. So I'm a little concerned about this injury for him.
Yeah, but, you know, it may be one of those things. You don't know the severity of it. And I think if he's out for the month of April, it may not be so horrible. And for a guy like Soler, if you can land him in the auction league for $7 and sit him on the injured reserve, I don't think you should have that too big of an issue.
Yeah, you know, I hope not. I just, you know, kind of, you know, just one of those things that, you know, I get concerned about.
And just know if you're bidding on him and he's at five, I'm going to bid six just because.
He was one of my, you know, I really thought he had the opportunity, you know, maybe he'll get healthy and everything will be fine. But, yeah, I thought he was going to be a guy who could have a really big, you know, year getting play every day, getting the swing the bat, you know, getting those at-bats. And hopefully he still will. I just, like I said, that injury, I lost a little confidence in it.
Yeah, but if anything, I mean, he'll be out the month of April somewhat in there, and you never know what the weather's going to be down in KC. So, and we know that he's not a cold weather kind of guy. So it could turn out to be a positive.
You know, while we were on former Cub, it does look like Ben Zobrist is getting ready to try to play again. Apparently he had a little bit of a neck problem. And he missed all the games last week. He's supposed to play tonight. I don't remember who the Cubs are playing. It might actually be the Indians. I know it's an MLB Network game. I remember it on the crawler. So that's possibly how it is. But, you know, check that out. I mean, Ben, you know, Zobrist is, you know, what, 35, 36. Luckily for the Cubs, that means more playing time for Javi Baez. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, you know, and another bit of bad luck, you know, Addison Russell's been having some back trouble. So one of them needs to get healthy. They need at least one of them so Baez can fill in the other spot. So, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on that and see how they progress as you're, you know, kind of grading your fantasy guys out because we have two drafts this weekend. So, you know, we got to figure out who's healthy and who's not and where to put them, right?
Oh, yeah. And speaking of that, I mean, it is Monday, and I think everything wrapped up in our basketball hockey league. Did you go anywhere?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. So, yeah, believe it or not, you know, we have big leagues in that as well. I think they were both 20 teams this year. Eight teams get into the playoffs. I finished ninth in both leagues.
Wow. Well, that's better than me.
So, yeah, that's just kind of how that worked out. So, I was kind of looking here. They called this article I pulled up late-breaking fantasy news, but it's really, even in a league like ours that features 20 teams, they're not really telling me anything that would help us. Part of the big news out of Cleveland is that Austin Jackson is going to make the team. Even in a 20-team league, if you're drafting Austin Jackson, you've got problems with your team. So I'm not quite sure how or why or what they've got going on that they think this is breaking news. And I don't know if you saw it over the weekend or maybe it was Friday, Dan. J.D. Martinez sprained that ligament. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So you're going to have to add that correction to your fantasy draft board. You know, I know you got the big whiteboard up in the garage and you check guys off and wipe guys off as they go along. So you'll have to make that adjustment there.
Yeah, I posted on Sports Time Radio, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And, I mean, I said eight guys are going to break out and six of them are rookies. Or I think all seven of them. I don't know much about Edwin Diaz from the Mariners. But, I mean, it's pretty much like saying, hey, these rookies are expected to perform. Anything surprising in it or quote breaking out.
So yeah, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm trying to get ready and I'm trying to, you know, pick up all this stuff and kinda know who is who and, you know, how that all kinda works, you know, where I'm gonna find the sneaky pitcher on a bad team that's gonna, you know, going to get me enough help that's going to help me do well. And, you know, there just really hasn't been much this offseason reporting-wise on it. So I'm not quite sure what or how or, you know, if it's going to work out.
No, I mean, one of them having created hiring guys that I want to put, you know, in your queue to get ready for it. And then after a while, I realized I just basically checkmarked everybody.
Yeah, yeah, that's always fun when you go through it going, oh, crap, I got too many guys in the queue. What is going on here?
Well, I mean, especially with the snake, which I believe is Friday night, it really comes down to obviously what your draft position is. I mean, the first 100 guys, I hate to go that far, but honestly, the first 100 guys, you can pretty much put in your queue, and you'd be happy to get any one of them.
Yeah, that's kind of the easy part, you know, getting rolling there. You know, it's like, okay, you know, the guy's coming off the board, you know all these names, and obviously we go a little, much deeper than that because of the way our league is set. I know a lot of the names and this and that, and there's always questions when guys draft certain guys, and you're kind of like, oh, okay. But yeah, it comes to time. I mean, you get in those later rounds and you're going, wait, what, who the hell's this guy? So
yeah, well, and then there's always for us on the conference call, and it's the 12th round or 13th round. Well, you and I will be talking, and all of a sudden we'll hear, oh, he's still out there.
Yeah.
Of course, it's your fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, that never fails. It's always, yeah. And yeah, you always get that thing going, oh, man, how did I miss him? Just open those. those some kind of thing you gotta live with. But I'm looking forward to it. It really can't get here fast enough. Waiting for it to get going and get the season started. That's what I want now. I want to actually watch some actual baseball that counts.
Oh, I know. But kind of switching topics a little bit, we were talking about hockey, and I don't know if you picked up on this story and how much you really cared about it, and it's not, but there's the IIHF Championship. I don't really know what it's about, but I heard, over the weekend, one of the female radio hosts on the mothership had some female American hockey player. And they're all boycotting, because of the accommodations that they're given. or they're not given compared to the male counterparts. And it's even caught the attention of the NHL players who say if things aren't, you know, if they aren't brought up to speed, that they'll boycott it too. And, you know, one of the minor things, one of the one hockey player, I forgot her name, she brought up was the fact that, you know, I'm there. They're made to. There's no choice in the training. There's no choice in, you know, how they do everything. But they feel it's kind of, I don't know, lack of a better word, crappy when you're on a plane and all the players are sitting coach when, they, you know, the coaches are high tide up in first class, you know, sipping champagne, got the leather couches, you know, with their legs up. I mean, have the legs taken any, you know, or taken any legs up for you? And have you really looked into that?
No, you know, I heard they were going to boycott. You know, and I know the event is actually in, it's being held in America. Or I think it was being held in America. I think it was over the weekend, wasn't it? But I, you know, it you know, nothing against the women. I mean, I'm sure they're very talented hockey players. And obviously, you know, they could skate circles around, you know, me. I mean, it wouldn't even be an issue for them. But, you know, as a sport, I'm just not interested in it. I mean, it's not competitive enough yet. I mean, the good teams are so far ahead of the bad teams that you get, you know, 7-8, 9-1 games. And I didn't, you know, and I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, but however you want to look at it, I just didn't look into it. It just, it didn't grab my interest. So I really didn't know what the reasons were.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the gist of it. The accommodations. I mean, not everything's going to be equal, but I think when you start looking at how the coaches are treated compared to the players, I'm sure that could be a little bit more upsetting. And they're supposed to start this weekend, coming up Friday. And, you know, I guess they were saying if they don't, they were just going to try to find replacements as opposed to actually, you know, making things work out. But, I mean, I didn't really know much about this and about this league to begin with and why it's so important. Is it, you know, to help with the Olympics? Which I get it, it's an NBC thing. And, you know, our country seems to not have as much enthusiasm when it comes to the Olympics compared to the rest of the world. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's never going to take precedence in my life. I'm never going to stop my life, even like a lot of people that, you know, watch the opening and the closing ceremonies. I don't care. I don't care about the running with the torch, you know, any of it. I find it interesting that when you look back on all the Olympics that happened, and you go back to those countries now, and, you know, you always see pictures on, you know, social media where, hey, look at the Olympic Village now, and it, you know, it was a gleaming blue pool when the Olympics were going on, and now it's just a waste hazard. You know, it seems like such a waste. They put so much money into it for something that's never used again.
Yeah, it also appears, look, and I found an article on it about some senators getting behind their cause. What a lot of it boils down to is apparently they want more money. You know, which doesn't surprise me because, you know, you know the line here, cash rules everything around me, and that's what a lot of this is. You know, they're looking for compensation during the 3.5-year period when they're not in the Olympics. So, you know, and I get it, but I mean, how much, and I don't know this, somebody would actually have to tell me this, how much money does USA Women's Hockey produce, Dan? I have no clue.
I don't know, I come down to good marketing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can honestly tell you I've never seen more than a few seconds of a women's hockey game. Again, it's just, you know, it's not something that interests me. You know, I can understand them wanting more money because, let's face it, everybody does. You know, you and I both have jobs where we would like more money. So I can understand that. And, you know, I mean, good luck getting it, but I don't know if, you know, I can fully support the cause, but hey, you know, like I said, good luck. I'm not going to tell you you can't do it.
Well, I guess if it comes down to that, I was under the assumption that it's all amateur sport.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing's amateur anymore now that the pros are involved in it, you know. But, yeah, it's, you know, I honestly, you know, if it was me, Dan, I think that's what they should go back to. You know, the amateur should just participate in the Olympics. You know, and, you know, it would make life much easier. And, you know, that could be your, you know, your dream growing up is, you know, I want to be an Olympian. But, you know, we couldn't handle, you know, again, we couldn't handle losing. So we had to send the pros in to go in and take care of it. Oh. So, you know, we'll see. I know they said they thought they were, the article said they thought they were close to a deal, but some of the stuff fell apart. So maybe they'll be able to get back together and work it out. And, you know, we'll see.
The Raiders are going to Vegas.
But yeah. Yeah. You know, while you brought, you know, since you brought it up, you know, there's only about a week left in the NHL regular season schedule, Dan. We're getting close to the exciting playoff time. So, are you ready for the NHL playoffs to start?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard because it coincides with the beginning of baseball, but the beauty of television and streaming iPad apps.
Yeah, and I know, you know, it looks like unless one of the two teams in the wild card spot fall apart, all the Western Conference playoff spots are going to be decided. It's just what order they shuffle out in. The Blues are actually, how's my math here today? Let's see, 7, 8, 9. They're 9 points ahead of the Los Angeles Kings for the final wild card spot. And they only, you know, I think they only have about six or seven games left. So that's going to be a big number for the Kings to make up. But over in the East, Boston has the last wild card spot. They're at 84 points. They're only 2 points ahead of the Islanders and just 3 points ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So there's a little bit of excitement still over there. So, you know, we'll have to see how that all, you know, how that all kind of shakes out. But it looks like, you know, in the end, Dan, as bad as everybody complained about the Blackhawks here locally and, you know, they made all these changes because of the salary cap and everybody was killing them, it looks like they're going to go in as the number one seed in the Western Conference after all.
That's amazing.
So, you know, yeah, they're right now they're the only Western Conference team over 100 points. They've pulled out to a 7-point lead over the Minnesota Wild. And I know when I used to tell Schomburg Stu stuff like that, he would say, well, you know, the Wild have only played so many games. Well, he can't say that anymore because they've now played 75 games. And the Blackhawks have that lead. So, we'll have to see how that rolls out. Of course, you know, in the East here, you know, your Capitals are on top, Dan. They got 106 points, but they're only 3 points ahead of the Blue Jackets and the Penguins. So it's still kind of up for grabs on who's gonna get that number one seed over in the East. And, you know, to be fair, it may be better if Washington doesn't get it because they seem to struggle in the playoffs when they get it, right?
Well, I mean, that was just last year.
Oh,
yeah.
No, trust me, they've had it before.
You know? I mean, are you surprised that the Blue Jackets are still in it?
I thought they would fade after that big winning streak. What'd they go, like 16, 17 games or something? I figured that was their high water mark and they would just go away, but no, they're hanging around. I mean, I don't know if I buy them as a threat to win. But, you know, you know, you're the tied for a second in points overall. I mean, you know, obviously there's something going on there. We just, you know, I don't think I've seen them play all year unless it's been against the Blackhawks. And that only happens twice because they, you know, they haven't been a marquee game. They haven't been an NBC game. They're not an NBC Sports Network game. You know, so I don't know much about them except that, you know, Brandon Saad is, you know, on the team over there, and their goalie is Sergei Bobrovsky. So I get a kick out of that.
Do you think being in Ohio, any of the the NBA championship carried over? I mean, it's kind of odd. Yeah, obviously the Browns, but that's a whole other story. You know, we had the Browns, or yeah, we had the Indians, the Blue Jackets following the Cavs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I noticed, you know, I haven't seen LeBron tweeting anything about Columbus like he did the Indians when they were on their run. So I don't know if he's not a hockey fan.
And it's probably a long drive. And, well, you know, once he showed up to the Cleveland game, they ended up losing. So I don't think Columbus, you want him tweeting or showing up to show support.
It's probably best for them if he stays away. You know, in reality, it's saying.
I mean, do you foresee them if they get to the second round and, or, you know, however it works out, and they end up maybe possibly taking out Pittsburgh? Do you think they might try to pull a Tampa Bay Lightning for some press and, you know, say, oh, Penguin fans aren't allowed to wear their jerseys if they come here?
Yeah, you know, I always wonder. I think it depends a lot on who you play and how they travel. You know, I mean, like, we know wherever you go, you're going to get Blackhawks fans because Chicago fans always travel well. You know, that can't be said for everybody. So, you know, I think it kind of depends on their matchup. But, yeah, I mean, if you run into a Washington who, you know, has a good team, so their fans will probably go, or a Pittsburgh, you know, you may say something like that, you know, like Dan can't come in if he's wearing his Alex Ovechkin jersey or sweater, excuse me. So.
No, I mean, more so because the Penguins, you know, being in close proximity to Ohio and also the defending champion. That's the only reason I really threw that out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, definitely a possibility for sure, you know, that they could do something like that. I mean, you know, it could also be a deal if they get to the Stanley Cup Finals, they may, you know, try to do that against whoever they're playing from the West.
Well, if it's the Hawks, they most certainly will, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's one of those, you know, one of those things, you know, you deal with anytime you. You know, you're playing the Blackhawks. That's what you're going to get. I mean, their fans travel, and you know, it's just gonna, you know, you're gonna have to deal with it. I mean, they're gonna find ways to get into the building. You know, I see, like me personally, I think you want them there spending their money, but you know, there are objections to them. I don't quite understand it, but you know, that's just kind of how.
Yeah, I mean, my boss left Sunday, California, just to come home to see the Cubs open and go to Blackhawks playoff games.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it would be nice to do that, huh? If you had the money just to be able to kind of, you know, pick and choose and, you know, go to opening day and, you know, go to, you know, go to Hawk playoff games. That's a nice life if you can get it.
Dream.
So that's he's got Mr. Fantasy's life, except he doesn't like hockey. So but yeah, I think, you know, it would be quite interesting to you know, to see a playoff game, you know, a Hawk playoff game. I mean, that place has got to be just insane, you know, as bad as it is for a regular season game, I can imagine what it's like for a playoff game, right?
Yeah, I'll never know. So.
Oh, I'm sure someday you'll get to go, you know. One of these days you'll be there, you know, they'll be playing balls and you'll be rooting for the Blackhawks in your Ovechkin sweater and, you know.
No, but I did get a little promise from my nephew that when he's in his 20s, he didn't say a Bulls game necessarily. He said a basketball game we're going to go to and we're going to sit on floor seats.
Well, hopefully that works. Yeah, now you went yesterday. We didn't really have a chance to talk about it. Where did you guys sit and how did you like I don't even know what it's called in Milwaukee. Is it still the Bradley Center or are they somewhere else?
Yep. Nope, it's the BMO Harris Bradley Center. And to be honest, you know, I think last year was when we discovered the news that they were getting a new stadium. I must have misread the article because I thought they had a new stadium. So I thought that this would be because, you know, they did something different with the floor last season. So I just assumed it was, you know, new stadium and all that. So I thought that's where we were going yesterday. But it turns out they're building it right next door. So when we do get the chance to go back, which Milwaukee's kind of a cool town, we'll definitely have to go back and, you know, see the new stadium next year, a couple of years down the road. You know, I had some friends who were a couple of basketball, you know, big basketball fans who were, you know, kind of jealous that I got to see Giannis, which, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. Unfortunately, I still want to see Jabari Parker, but I believe he was playing, right?
Yeah, except he's out for the season, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I keep missing out on him. That's who I kind of wanted to see, you know, kind of being the Chicago kid. But, you know, I ended up, you know, in Chicago, the tickets are expensive no matter what. So I wanted to get center court, and we were able to actually get that. Our seats were center court, but row T. So if you know anything about the alphabet when you're sitting in the top section, we weren't the last row, but we were up there. So that was fun. It was I had to hold onto the rail because my knees weren't liking that big hike up to the top. But, you know, still a great view. I'll be honest, and I mentioned this to you earlier, did not expect the Bulls win. Did not at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think a lot of people were, you know, it's weird because, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of fits into how this season has went for them. You know, they beat another team who was over 500, but yet they got blown out by the 76ers the game before that. So,
yeah,
you know, it kind of is what it is with this team.
So, but, you know, however it goes, it was kind of nice, you know, kind of cool in person again. You get a little bit of a different feel when you're there, kind of gauge the players. You know, yesterday was one of those games where I still think that despite everyone's kind of negativity towards Robin Lopez, oh, he's not the better Lopez. Well, at least the Bulls are doing a hell of a lot better than the Nets. Let's say that. He's definitely a proven commodity. I would definitely accept him, you know, taking the place of, what's his name, Powell, because, you know, they're neither here nor there, and really replacing Joakim Noah. He was taking some shots yesterday where I turned to my dad and go, man, that's a lot less stressful than watching Joakim Noah try to take that shot. You know, God bless him and his 20-game suspension for over-the-counter drugs. You know, it was a good team to watch. I will say the only guy I'm not really fond of and I not particularly care for is Payne, who they picked up from the Oklahoma deal. But, again, you know, with things like with Valentine, I think he can be great. I think he needs time to mature. But the other thing you watch, I don't know what the hell Fred Hoiberg's doing. And if I was, you know, Nick Friedel, who covers the team for the mothership of our city, it's got to be difficult. I don't think – it's got to be difficult to go to these games. You know, like you said, I went to one where they should have lost and they won. And, you know, then they got blown out by the Sixers. I just – I don't understand. You know, for three quarters, it looks like he has absolutely no game plan whatsoever. And then the last quarter, all of a sudden, you see the ball movement and Mirotić, the way they move it around and getting the guy open on the, you know, on the corners to hit that three was pretty impressive to me. I'm like, oh, wow, it took you 3.5 quarters to finally put a play together. And the other thing that throws me off with this team, and, you know, like you and I always say, this league is built on three-point shooters. The thing that confused the hell out of me, and this actually kind of went for both teams yesterday, wide open shots, and the Bulls had wide open shots, yet they weren't taking those threes. Where, you know, if it was any other team pretty much on the West Coast or, you know, the Western Division, they'd been taking, you know, covered four-point shots and, you know, bricking them and making them, where it just totally, I don't know if you watched the first quarter, at least, if you watched that first period, I cannot understand how you've got the wide open three, and this is a game of 3 points, and nobody's taking the shot. It was completely baffling to me. So, you know, that's one of those things when I think it's different when you get to watch it live because, you know, the camera movement isn't there. You're not switching the cameras. And you can really see that it looks like I said, Hoiberg doesn't have any – I feel like he doesn't have any game plan or know what the hell he's doing. I don't know. Can you catch that? Maybe I haven't been watching enough Bulls games on TV because it's just been rough, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy. I can't deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been covering them, but I don't know. I know you can't watch all the games because of the time period, but the times you have watched, do you really get a feel that Hoiberg knows what he's doing? And I don't even like to say that, to be honest.
You know, they remind me of every other bad team in the NBA. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why, you know, as much as while I want to see them do well, I don't want to see them make the playoffs. I don't want to see them go in as an eighth seed, you know, drop into the lottery, you know, get a better draft pick. I mean, obviously I know the chances of you moving all the way up to number one are basically zero, but you know, even so, I mean, take that little earlier first rounder than normal. And I know it's supposed to be a deep draft. Maybe you get somebody who can really help you, you know, and you can kind of start getting this rebuilding process going, because whatever you did this year, I don't understand, you know. I mean, hopefully they'll get, like I said before, you know, they'll get lucky and Dwayne Wade will opt out and go away, you know, otherwise you're stuck with him for another year or two. You know, that's not rebuilding. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's at the tail end of his career, and I get it. You wanted people to show up and watch you. I don't think you needed Wade to do that, but not my decision. So, you know, it's, you know, they just kind of fit in. I mean, pick and choose any team that's not in the playoffs and you can compare them to the Bulls. You know, it's just, That's kind of the NBA is the one league that's like that. If your team is good, it's really good. If you're not a really good team, and there's only at the most 10 really good teams, if you're not one of those teams, you're just along for the 82 game ride.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. So, you know, but real quick while I'm thinking about it, here's the NBA schedule tonight. It's a little bit small. Orlando is at Toronto. Detroit is at the Knicks tonight, Dan, so you got that. The first game on TNT tonight has the Cavaliers at the Spurs, so you wonder how many star players are going to sit that game out tonight. Oklahoma City is at Dallas. Memphis is at Sacramento. And the night game, the wrap-up on TNT tonight, is the New Orleans Pelicans at the Utah Jazz. I heard
how
it.
How hilarious. How hilarious would it be if LeBron decided to sit along with Love and Irving And then, you know, Popovich decided to sit Parker, Kawhi.
Yeah, it looks like an exhibition game on national television.
It's the D League.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, you know what I found really odd, too, while we were talking about the Bulls, Dan? You know, they played yesterday. Now they're off till Thursday. I don't know. I don't know how the heck they do this NBA scheduling, but I heard a good point I wanted to get your take on here. You know, obviously one of the hotter topics in the NBA is who's going to win MVP? You know, is it going to be Russell Westbrook with the stats he's putting up, or is a guy like James Harden or Kawhi Leonard going to sneak in there and take the award because they're on winning teams? And now I heard a guy really match this up really well, and I'm probably not going to do this justice. You know, it's clear, I think, to everybody that while Harden is probably the most improved player, Westbrook is the best player in the NBA right now and probably deserves to win the award. Now, his team isn't losing. You know, they're sixth overall. They're going to the playoffs. Now, the situation this guy just compared it to was Mike Trout just won an MVP in baseball on a team that was below 500.
Yeah.
So now why is Westbrook downgraded? Because his team, which is 10 games over 500 and in sixth place in the Western Conference, why is he downgraded? Because, you know, in the NBA where Trout wasn't in the, you know, in baseball.
I think some of it has to do with the fact that, you know, I don't want to say it's the NBA is more popular, but it's on the popular sports network all the time.
You know, and now do you think it's,
you know, I think the other part of it is,
you know, do you think it's media driven?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that was the point I was going to make was, I mean, what's the one team you really don't see? It's the Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they're playing a marquee team, you know, now Westbrook seems like, or I should say Trout seems like he's a little more likable with the media than Westbrook is. And, you know, it's a media award. These are the guys who vote for it. It's not, you know, a player award or anything like that. So do you think that has anything to do with it?
I think so, because, I mean, I don't remember looking at the numbers last year for baseball, but Trout's WAR was the highest thing. But when you come to the NBA, I don't know if they do a WAR yet, but
yeah, actually, I believe they do.
It seems to me like that almost 60% of 60, 70% of the positive stats you're looking for, Westbrook was at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, Harden kind of split them all up. You know, it wasn't James because, well, you know, he's going to go down as one of the greats because he's going to hold all the stats, which, you know, he's been doing that all season. And that's great and all. But, you know, it kind of cracked me up when I get updates from the NBA app. Oh, LeBron just had his 10th triple-double. And, you know, the night before, oh, well, Westbrook just hit his 34th. You know, Russell did that, you know, 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, you know, and even like, you know, you brought up WAR with Trout, even though he had a great WAR and it's, you know, wins above replacement. Boy, man, it sure didn't help his team.
So, I mean, I can get where your WAR stat can come into play, but to me, it seems like WAR is only great. A great stat to use to compare players from past to present, you know, players out of the game. I don't feel it's a necessary, necessary for current season players. I don't, you know, like you said, he had a great WAR. Yay. They were one of the worst teams. Oh, well, yeah. We could just blame that on the pitching. We blame that on the pitching, but pitching doesn't matter because all we care about is hitting. But when you don't have the pitching, you don't win games.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird how, you know, and obviously it's different media segments that are voting for these awards, but yeah, it's so different how the NBA media kind of looks at it, you know, compared to where the baseball media is now. I mean, if you're not sabermetrically relevant, they don't want anything to do with you as a player. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of year you rack up. You know, and I know the NBA is, you know, turning that way. You know, I know Houston has a, you know, they're a sabermetric team as you would, you know, as much as you can be in the NBA right now. But, yeah, I just, you know, I think people seem to forget that, you know, numbers only say so much.
Well, and the funny thing, and you brought this up, and I don't think we really brought it up for this year, but who are the last two World Series champions? The Royals and the Cubs. Who are the two teams that, when they won, not once was sabermetrics brought up about anybody on the Cubs?
Yeah, you don't know. You know, the Royals were the farthest team away from sabermetrics, possibly. You know, and the Cubs aren't far behind. You know, it's, you know, I know every team uses it. You know, it's part of baseball now. You have to, you know, you have to factor that into anything you do. It's just kind of the way it works. But, you know, there's so much more that goes into being a productive player in any sport than what those sabermetric numbers are telling you. You know, I mean, you have to be able to pass what the scouts say is the eyeball test. So, you know, you gotta find that fine line, and I think teams get a little carried away with it on, you know, well, you know, the numbers tell us this and we have to do this, and you know, this is how things work and we've gotta go this route. And no, you don't have to, really. You know, there are many other ways to find stuff that works for you and your team. But, you know, they get caught up in it.
Well, you know, like you said, I think there's a place for it, but I think that place is to be incorporated with the game, not just, you can't just rely on numbers. I mean, you could use baseball, you know, try to transfer it to football, and you get the Cleveland Browns. I mean, what a great way to start sabermetrics off. And, you know, fortunately it worked that way, so we don't have to hear about that crap in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, now it'll be interesting to see how the Browns do in their second year of this, you know, sabermetric journey that they're on. You know, I'll be interested to see if they make an improvement. But, yeah, they didn't get off to a very good start. So. You know, you just got to, you know, you got. You know, until those sabermetric teams start to dominate the World Series, I'm not going to be all in on it. But, all right, oh, well, there's music. It means it's time for Dan and I to take off. But don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again for you. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get on over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the stuff there. Hit that link. Follow it over to the Facebook page. And give that a like, please. We'd appreciate it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. And you can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well, so look for us if you'd like. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.